You have just entered the KD Mod Podcast. Keyboard plus mouse or die.
Hey guys, what is going on? And welcome to episode 78 of the KB Mod Podcast. I am here along with a esteemed panel of not only handsome but extremely intelligent gentlemen who all did extremely well on their SATs. I have no question in my mind. Is that true actually about any of you? I know Brandon.
I didn't take the SAT. I took the ACT.
That's great, dude.
I got a 900.
Okay, well, Brandon, please save me. I know you probably did well.
I don't know how they score it now.
It's scored way different. Yeah.
I forget. I was it took out it of once because I was.
It was out of what, 1800 originally?
1600.
I only got a 20 on mine. What does that mean?
Yeah. Pretty sure you got 20 for putting your name on the SAT.
So he spelled it wrong.
I got that one right then.
I got a 420.
Then you rolled up your SAT and smoked the shit out of it.
I figured. Yeah. I didn't even hand the test in. I just smoked it.
Blazed
right.
Blazed it.
Just blew smoke right.
It t-shirt. Wasn't good. It actually really messed up my lungs. That's a lot of ink. It's really not good.
Oh, man. Yeah, John's not with us this week. He is busy, I suppose. I don't know.
So you're stuck with me.
He has a TF2 match.
You got Hex here, who's always a good fill-in, and could also stand on his own. Hex, I'll give you that, dude. You are a charming gentleman. I don't know why I'm sucking your dick right now live, but I'm doing it.
Maybe it's because of all the times you've called me out on Radio Respawn.
What? Oh, yeah, I have, dude. I don't know why. It's always... That was only once. Wait, that was only really once where I really...
Yeah, it was that about The Hobbit? About? I remember
yeah, it was about The Hobbit. Hobbit. No spoilers for The Hobbit, and I felt
yeah,
such
but that
an
was
idiot.
The funniest thing you've ever said.
No, spoilers from the book from 1930.
God damn it.
Can I be honest? I fell asleep during The Hobbit.
Bible for me, please? I'm working my way
Yeah, what happens at the end? Does Jesus die? Does
Jesus dies.
Die Jesus dies.
Spoilers.
But there's
Jesus
a twist.
Dies.
There's a twist, and he comes
he does
back
come
to
back,
life
yeah.
3 days.
Whoa,
it's crazy.
I did not see that one coming at all.
Yeah, dude.
And now he's a vampire.
I ruined the Bible
the
for Bible everybody.
By M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah, he partners with Abraham Lincoln to fight vampires.
Oh,
that's
man.
What actually
this is that Bible I would actually subscribe to.
That's an interesting one. All right, but what if we let's start.
Snape kills Tiger Woods.
Snape kills what?
Oh, wow. Geez.
Well, Voldemort kills Jesus. Well, I guess in a way. All right, we won't spoil the Bible for you guys anymore. I know that's not what you're here for, unfortunately.
But, how many Horcruxes does Jesus have?
No one's found them all yet.
Nope, we're still looking. We're still looking. And that, my friend, is Christianity in a nutshell. We're still looking for the Horcruxes. All right, Brandon, what have we been playing this week? I've been a little all over the place myself, but let's start with
I've
you.
I've been playing buy a new car and find a new place to live.
Yeah,
and all these awesome other games.
How's that game going?
8.5.
Yeah, it's going okay, but I mean I really haven't played anything this week. I played a little bit of League of Legends, so
good man. You gotta get into Brandon, you gotta we should do a ranked. You would probably, I don't know if you play fives.
I'm not 30 oh, yet 30? No, yeah. I haven't gotten there yet, but it wouldn't matter because I'm pretty sure you've never asked me to play League with you, so
okay, dude, that's what. What? I don't believe that. Though I don't have an example to point to, but I know we play.
It's not something
we have no rebuttal, but no.
I know we have. We played like threes. Yeah, we played threes, which is
like 3 or 4 months ago.
Yeah, we played like 2 matches of threes.
Hey, dude, it counts for something, man. It counts for something. All right. Well, if you're interested in that, I'm definitely interested.
Oh, I look forward to that.
It's a date. All right. So you've been playing the real life game because obviously you're moving to. Do you have a. Is there a date? I missed obviously last week. So if you shared all this, I did not. Have not heard.
Well, one, I'm glad you admitted that you don't even listen to the podcast when you're not on it.
You know, I don't listen to it when I'm on it either way. I experienced it. I don't have to listen to it. I lived it.
I lived it.
I am the podcast.
I'm probably moving in like 3 or 4 weeks, something like that.
Nice. That'll be fun. I'm assuming Hillary's going with you, or is this a touchy subject?
Not immediately. I'm going out there first.
He's actually going to pay for the apartment that they're currently in. She's going to stay there, and he's just going to leave her, and then she's going to live there.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, it's been a really elaborate plan.
Super complicated.
Really elaborate plan for Brandon.
She's gonna stay
rents.
Here half the week, and then I'm going to. It's like, all right, cool. Well, that's good. I like this real life game you're playing, Brandon. I definitely agree with Hex. I think that deserves an 8.5. Maybe bump it up to a 9 if you move.
Wait, how are the graphics? Are they realistic?
Yeah. How is it?
I don't know. I mean, the it's been okay. It'd be nice if it was DX11, but I'll settle for DX10.
There's not enough tessellation, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Not enough tessellation.
Did you get the day one DLC where you're immediately rich and famous?
It only cost 80 Microsoft points.
Yeah, it's 80 Microsoft points. I think I have that in my office right now. But it's not available anymore. If you didn't get it on day one, then...
You're done.
Just please don't tell me you believe the lie that 1080p is worth it and that you've stayed with 1440 by 900 superior resolution. Please. don't believe the lies, man. Don't believe it.
I don't even know what that means. Why would I?
1080p is for chumps.
It is, dude. It's for chumps, man. I will.
Scott only runs anything.
I know. I don't know why you would choose to run your life at 1440 by 900.
Because it's the best, dude. Everything looks great. It's just like it's not too good, but it's just good enough where you're like, I don't need to upgrade. You know what I mean? So it's normal. You're complacent.
Scott actually has crippling cataracts, so he can't tell the difference.
he looks like a really old dog.
Those yellow sunglasses are actually a prescription he has to wear.
I'd be seen in 640, so I'm not. All right, well, we can stop with this horrible analogy about resolutions in life and move on to Hex over here. What have you been playing?
This week, Fenton and I started a co-op playthrough of Saints Row the Third on my show.
We're actually going to probably finish it. So
yeah, that's laughable. But go ahead. Anyway, if Nick's with you, you're not going to finish it. So
I can just sub in Nuketown, who was really pissed because I asked him, and he was like, "I don't know if I can do every Wednesday." And I was like, "That's cool. I'll just ask somebody else first, and if nobody else can do it, then." Then that's cool.
It's cool. I'll just disregard you, dude.
And then I asked Fenn, and he was like, fuck you.
Wow. That's some good behind-the-scenes KB Mod drama right there. Hopefully you have the email transcript so we can leak those on LiveLeak.
Yeah.
You do need to see it, though, because Hex's character looks like Wings of Redemption.
I'm a bearded woman, so...
Yeah, Wings of Redemption in what my... Actually, my wife... trolled the stream on Wednesday, and it was hilarious. And she was like, "Why are you playing as Fat J-Lo? Because I have him in like the night evening dress."
Oh,
and
God.
It makes total sense. Other than that, a lot of Binding of Isaac still. Dan has given me the Binding of Isaac bug, and I am playing it actually as we speak.
Oh wow. Look at that. John style. Filling in for John, like, really, where John plays games.
As dude who does other shit during the cast.
It's not like Isaac's one of those games you really have to concentrate that hard on, so I can speak and play this game, thankfully.
You have beaten it a million times at this point.
Once. And you say that doesn't count.
Yeah, Mom's Leg doesn't count.
That's so great, dude. You're a great guy, and everyone respects you and loves you a whole lot.
Wow. Actually, the nicest thing I've heard from Hex in a while.
Oh, thank you.
That's
Nick
it.
Nick Fenn, what have you been doing?
Hood life over there.
Yeah, hood life.
I played Dota 2. I played a little bit of League of Legends yesterday because I was like, I want to get to 30. And then I played a couple matches and I was like, I don't want to get to 30 anymore. I'm done. And then I went back to Dota because it's better. And then I played the Crysis 3 beta, and that's really good. But it's like Crysis 2.
Crysis 3 beta is fucking the tits. It's so good.
It's Crysis 2.5, really.
It is, but I still spent money on it because I'm a bad person.
I'm not getting that game.
I don't know. I played it with Diction last Friday.
I know,
I've
played it.
I had fun with it.
I've played it, I just have no... FPS, I don't really care anymore. I don't know.
Yeah, FPS is dead. I told you guys, MOBA's taken over. GG, 420, smoke it up.
I would rather play every FPS ever released, even Daikatana, than play a MOBA.
You guys are haters.
scientists.
We are haters.
Yeah. Stop feeding.
Well, listen, you can just use haters as your motivators.
That's true.
That's true.
They are.
That's true.
All right. Well, that's interesting. What is it going to take for you guys to even try, like, legitimately try MOBA? And I don't mean like two nights of like trying. I mean,
I
like,
played double digit hours of Smite.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, okay. No. Incorrect.
I'm sorry. If you start bashing on Smite, I'm just going
to
bash.
No. Smite is not bad. But to me, Smite is not a true MOBA in that sense. It's a hybrid.
How is it not a MOBA?
It's not top down.
Because I think the view alone, man, I think it makes a huge difference. I don't know. What about you, Brandon?
It makes a difference, somewhat, but it's still a MOBA.
I guess. Like, I don't
Brandon
know.
Brandon can still tell me not to feed right lane, so.
It's a third-person shooter with MOBA, with MOBA concepts. I don't feel like it. No. I don't think Smite has the metagame that Dota and League do.
Does it have the lore, though? Because I mostly just play for the lore.
I think it does have the lore, because it's actually based on history.
Can I
play as Jesus yet?
Here's a question. Can I lock screen on League or Dota 2?
You shouldn't.
Because I cannot play otherwise.
Yeah, you can.
But you shouldn't.
you can hit Y, just, and you can lock, like, and you can until you learn how to not lock screen. But, yeah.
I actually don't like Dota because of that, because their lock thing is not very good. I've kind of weaned myself off of it a little bit.
You play with lock screen, don't you, Brandon?
I do. I'm playing with it a little bit less now, but I still use that a lot. So that's one of the things that made Dota hard for me, because their lock screen is kind of... It doesn't follow the camera exactly.
I don't know how you play on lock screen. That's crazy. Though, it's not crazy. I know a guy who's like super good on my friends list, and he said he played on lock screen on League till he was like, for like 2 years before he realized that it was not superior to play with. And he's actually fucking super good. So I don't know.
Because to me, if it played, because it has like the controls, basically, of like an ARPG.
Yeah.
Like Path of Exile or Diablo or... Yep. And... I'm just completely uncomfortable with my character like moving off the screen or being able to scroll the screen. Mm. That's partially probably because I haven't played an RTS in like a million years at this point as well. So, I don't know. I just cannot. That was what bothered me the whole time I was playing Dota 2 with Nick for like a couple hours. I just like it was just bothering me so much. Just the control, like let alone learning builds and that kind of thing. So,
Gatman says he would play more MOBAs if they had the intervention. Which, I mean, to be fair, I think we all would be playing a lot of MOBAs if the intervention was there.
Get on that Steam Workshop, people. Dota 2.
Oh man, there needs to be a Tabes a champion in either League or Dota that like his taunts. It starts playing
to
the face song, and oh yeah.
I mean, if it's on Dota, I wouldn't have to pay for it. So let's get it on Dota.
Yeah, that's great, dude. You don't bring that up enough, like ever.
I know I can toggle it now. People saying I can toggle on lock screen, but now I've been told that it's an inferior way to play. So why would I do that?
You just got to play the way that you want
to
play.
What you're going to learn about MOBAs is that you are always going to play in an inferior way to everyone else.
Okay, that's right.
Going to let you know that
all the time.
My strategy is whenever anybody says anything to me that's negative, I just respond with the letter K. That's all you do. You just say K. And then they get even more mad and just, okay.
Yeah, see, that's my problem at this point. Even if I wanted to play a MOBA, I'm not going to dedicate the time to get really good at it. And people who are playing them now are good, and they will just be like, get the fuck out of my match.
Well, not really. Also, not if you started up one and play with shitties. Like, all of us
did. Heroes of New Earth didn't start me out on the MOBA right foot.
Okay. Yeah, that was your first problem was Han, because that community is...
I was in Han beta and played it a good amount. And
the people in Han Beta were Warcraft 3 veterans, so that's why you weren't having fun.
Yeah, it wasn't very fun.
I would say when you start out playing League or Dota, just play in the way that you enjoy the game. I mean, like, I prefer playing with lock screen, but obviously, it's, you know, that is not the way that the better people play. So I've kind of started to wean myself off of it a little bit, and as my skill kind of goes up and it demands that I pay more attention to the game. But when you're starting out, it doesn't really matter. I would say just play the way that you enjoy playing, because the other people are on your level. It's not like no one's really going to care.
Yeah, Dan, the best way it's going to happen, you're absolutely right, K9. This is what needs to happen. We need to all get, like me, Dan, you, even Nick Fenton down there, he's a hater. We all get into a game, we play co-op, so five-man team against bots. It's the best way, even though the bots are dumb, it's the best way to learn. You can pick a character, we walk it through it, there's no pressure, you don't have to worry about letting anyone down. You won't get yelled at.
Wow, this is Scott. He's like painting this.
This is the picture.
The MOBA endgame of just like.
And then we just do it.
You let everybody down.
And then at the end of the game, we just all get together and just play right. Who's in My Mouth.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's obviously the inevitable end of anything KB Mod does, but that's how we'll do it. All right. Well, that's it. We're doing that. This weekend, if you're around, that's what we're going to do. So you don't really have a say in it. And was that it?
Wow.
Let's see. Oh, I didn't say what I was playing yet, and I didn't ask you what you were playing, Dan. What were you playing?
What was I playing this week? I started out my 4 for February challenge, which is you have to beat 4 games that you've been meaning to play in February. So I started Deus Ex Human Revolution. Really good so far, except for the horrible video problem I was having, which I don't understand why, but... The game played wonderfully, but if I went back into the menu, it would go to 1 FPS, like literally 1 FPS. And then when I got back into the game, it was fine.
It's weird.
But overall, the game is really good. I'm just playing on like the medium difficulty, normal or whatever. Yeah, I've been told it's DX11, so I'm going to try that. But I'm a couple hours into it. It's really good. The hacking is annoying. If you guys haven't played this game, there's like... you can hack the locks on doors, and you have to like go through these nodes, and it's not really a puzzle per se, but it's just kind of annoying. so, but yes, of course, I did finish The Walking Dead. We finished The Walking Dead last Monday.
Emotions?
Well, no. All right. Well, this is the problem here, is that I don't know how much I want to say.
Right.
People who haven't played it, season 2 is coming soon, so if you are going to play it, you should play it soon.
Wait, the first one?
Yeah, Walking Dead.
You could just watch it. I watched it.
Well, yeah, you could just watch
it.
But I have a feeling that if you do play it, that your decision at the end will somehow factor into season 2. So the end, the problem with the end for me was that the wrong character was put in the bad situation. It was disappointing to me. I wasn't like unsatisfied with the ending. I was disappointed, if that makes any sense. Like, it wasn't like the ending ruined it for me or anything like that, but I was just kind of like expecting something different to happen, and I was kind of let down by that.
Getting called out by the fans here. Dan trying to play it off.
I wish I had tears.
He was silent for like 30 minutes.
That's what I wanted. But but the ending that you get after the credits is fucking amazing. That leading, the lead into season 2 at the end, that's like, hell yeah.
So the question is, after having played through The Walking Dead,
right,
would you consider it a Game of the Year contender?
Yes. Is that well done? There are a lot of problems. There are a lot of flaws with it. But overall, no game that I've played in the past year has gripped me quite as much as that one. Like, to where I was looking ahead to Monday every week. Like, I was doing it. And now, like, season 2, like... there's some real weighty decisions, and you feel them, and that's really well done. But if I had to vote for my Game of the Year right now, it'd be Sleeping Dogs.
I hate all of you.
We're going to bring this up again. God damn.
You're all assholes.
Oh, man. And Hex is on the cast tonight, so we have to hear about it. It's like, God, he hasn't tweeted enough about how unhappy he was.
So I played that, and I finally got to dive into Path of Exile. Now that it's an open beta, and I streamed it for 6 hours Sunday total. So, in between two streams, but
yeah, that was fun. Except for that it crashed my computer.
That game is really good.
I was gonna say, polish, it seems like it's taken off quite a bit.
Yeah, the polish they put on that game between closed and open beta is pretty fantastic. If you liked Diablo 3 even a little bit, play Path of Exile. Yeah. You truly enjoy it. I think it's better than Diablo 3 and Torchlight 2.
Wow, strong words, at least in Torchlight 2 category.
They both, like, they all three, I've said this before, like, months ago, but all three have different qualities that are, make them unique, or they do different things well. Like, I think Torchlight has the best talent system. Diablo has, like, the best combat, but Path of Exile has the best combo of that. Mm. It's not better than either of those at those things, but it is a better combo of them. So, D3 isn't terrible, like, and the combat is amazing in D3. That's the thing they did right the most. I'll get the expansions for that game and all that, so. But, yeah, that's actually been about it. I haven't played much Isaac this week. I've been playing that stuff instead.
All right, well, I've been playing, let's see. I mean, obviously League, I've been playing a lot of the Crysis 3 beta. I like it a lot. I didn't play Crysis, sadly. I am ashamed.
Dude, the Hunter mode is really fun.
Hunter's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm.
Said I wasn't going to buy it, and I'll stick with that, but, like, the Hunter mode is really good.
Hunter's good, and I also like, I mean, obviously there's only the other mode is the Crash mode, but I didn't play Crysis 2 on PC, sadly. Ashamed. I played it a little bit on
I've seen it on, like, Xbox. Steam sales, and I almost pull the trigger, like, every time, and then I don't buy it because it's Crysis 2. It's old at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I've just been having a ton of fun with it. I've been jumping in and out. To me, the feel of it is, I don't know, I like the feel of that engine and everything about it in general. I'm probably going to end up buying it. I see it filling a shooter spot because I'm not the only shooter I've been playing, actually.
The only problem I have with it is, was it yesterday or Saturday? I don't remember. Last time I played it, I had hackers, so.
Yeah,
I was like,
heard that.
Oh, hackers in a beta, so this is a good sign for the full release.
I'm excited. Yeah.
But they.
To be fair, they had an alpha to make hacks already. Right.
Plus,
like,
it's a wide release. If you have Origin, you can play the beta, so, I mean, people are going to hack it. If it's out, people will hack it.
I think Crysis 3.
CS:GO had hackers.
Crysis 3 is a good step compared to Crysis 2. It's like, it's very similar to Crysis 2 in a lot of ways, but it's like Crysis 2 refined. But it's hard. It would be hard for me if you're like trying to choose what you're going to spend $60 on a certain game coming up or something, because like it's not that different really, but it's still really fun, I guess.
Yeah. No, I have.
Are you making a statement, or are you just pondering your own thoughts? Because it sounds like
I'm throwing it out here. I like the game. I think it's a lot faster than Crysis 2 because
it's not
one energy bar. In Crysis 2, everything was off of one energy bar, and now the armor is split in one energy bar. The stealth is one energy bar, and then
when you
jumping takes no resource.
Yeah, when you get on like a spree in Crysis 3, like when you're like in the zone and you're fucking melee and killing people, you feel like more than any other game. It was like that in Crysis 2, but even more so in this game, you feel like a fucking super soldier with the way you can obviously parkour around the environments and the jumps. And you feel like when you get in the zone, like if you get on a 10 kill spree or 15 kill spree, you feel like you're a fucking god. And that's like a hard thing to me. Not many games make you feel like that.
It's super fast. It's like Call of Duty on crack.
Yeah.
Yeah,
with a lot of verticality, and there's a lot of jumping, and like, I don't know, it's super fun.
And I don't
feel guns handle
like
great
in games like Call of Duty as much. Like, obviously, it depends on latency and all that kind of stuff. But like,
I've
pretty much, when I die in Crysis, I'm like, all right, whatever. Like, it's not. I don't get that rage that I get in other shooters.
I'm super bad. I'm super terrible at Crysis.
Really?
Oh yeah, so am I.
Are you armoring and shielding and nanovisioning?
I don't know what that means.
Okay. Well,
also the
part of the issue. Yeah.
The default first perk thing where it automatically puts your shields on also makes it kind of feel like Halo almost, because it's like it's like an automatic shield. I like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
I've also been playing Sniper Elite, which you guys obviously bought, and I'm way late to the party, but Sark like got into that game and then was like, we got to try co-op, so we've been playing through the co-op missions. That to me, for my money, is one of the best co-op experiences of any, and not because it's like really well thought out or like extremely impressive like level wise but I guess it is because they just facilitate fun. Like, if you're with someone else, they just put you in a fucking like a super fun sandbox, and it's just it's fun to try to go through the missions. And I don't know, like, Sniper Elite is really fun. So we've been playing that. And what else? We played some Omerta, the gangster, City of Gangsters.
Isn't that like a turn-based
thing? Yeah.
I've seen it. I don't get what it is doing.
It's
though.
Like, I'm trying to think the best way to describe it. It's kind of like it has elements, kind
of
like
Tropico.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. Kind of like Tropico. It has turn-based combat, which Tropico has, right? As well. No.
Does that have? Maybe the Pirates expansion for the first one, but I only played the first one.
So it has turn-based combat, kind of like XCOM, where when if you rob a bank, you go down and you have to run through like the mission. Which it was, I don't know, it's not my kind of game. Like, we were playing it today, and I can see where it could be addictive, because obviously you're building your empire. Like, it's turn-based. You send people in, and then it's like text-based. It's like, hey, you just got $400 in dirty money because you robbed this bank or whatever.
That could be.
It's
cool.
Interesting. I think it will have a certain audience, but it's just not really for me.
I want more gangster themed games. There's not enough. It's just like Mafia, and that's about it.
Yeah, it really is. Just as far as quality ones,
decent
really
kind of stuff. Yeah, I think there were a couple Godfather games a while back that were like decent. But
yeah, the first Godfather game was decent. I played that; it was fun.
I need more like gangster style games. That's all I want.
Yeah, I mean, this game was $40, and I'm going to be honest. Upon getting in, I'm sure there's probably a lot of depth there, but I was kind of like, yeah, this is it. Like, it feels like there should be way more, and the map feels super small. Maybe the map gets bigger as you dominate certain areas, but the map itself feels like super small. So people will see how it goes. Obviously, it just came out today, but I'm playing that. I'm trying to think what else. That's about it. But that's the most varied my gaming habits have been in a long time. So
while
I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
But
it wasn't just League. That was
crazy. I know. It's good. It feels good. It feels good to not be just League.
But... Right, points.
Mm-hmm. I love them. There was a skin sale today, Nick, by the way, so I picked up a couple skins.
Hey, I can use all of my heroes in Dota 2.
I picked
What's
up a Kali, dude. I don't have a Kali. Hey. I'm going to play a Kali.
Yeah, I probably have an Akali equivalent inside my library of characters in Dota 2. I have them all. I didn't pay anything.
That's good, dude. I love turn radiuses and MOBAs. It's fun.
That was his complaint. He played one bot match, and his complaint about Dota 2 is that there's a turn radius.
It is, dude. It is a difference. It's different, man. On you.
So when he started playing League, he's like, oh, I love the learning curve. I love learning all this stuff. He plays one bot match of Dota 2. He's like, it's too much to learn. It's too much. Too much learning. Oh,
it's
I hate learning.
It's too much to learn after I already spent all this time trying to understand what was going on.
Basics of MOBAs. It's all right there. It's just you're adding on top of League of Legends, pretty much. You're adding, like certain mechanics on top of it.
This argument is not going to be solved right now, so let's move on to other things.
Okay.
How mod you are.
Dota 2.
All right. Is that what we've been playing?
Anyone else? That's all we've been playing. Fuck you, Nick Pent.
Oh, third radius.
I'm glad we covered it in a full half hour.
Yeah, guys, really succinct.
That's what it should be, damn it. Should have lots of things to say about it. All right, we're going to take a quick 90-second commercial break, bros, and we will be right back.
Turn radius.
Turn radius.
It's.
Oh, I forgot to mention, I played like 8 hours of Heroes of Might and Magic 3 because I live in 1999 and play that game.
Strong. That was a good game.
It's fucking so good, dude. It's like $6 on Good Old Games or something like that, but I had to get a patch just to be able to run it in a window because it doesn't do 32-bit color.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Jeez.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Play Versus on Heroes of Might Magic 3? I don't even know if that would work. Do we have that crazy IPX connection going on? Also, Mr. Matty Mouse, playing that game versus someone would mean we need about 14 hours to play. So,
oh, yeah.
I have not like finished a game yet of Heroes of My Magic 3 since I bought it because it's just so damn long.
Wait, so what are your four Monopoly games? What are your four games that you're doing for your?
Deus Ex Human Revolution. I'm finishing the Hard Reset DLC. Yeast Origins.
Oh, wow, you're going to try and finish that?
Yeast is only like 12 hours.
Yeah, but it's hard as shit.
I just need to sit down and grind it out.
This is whiskey.
I forget my fourth game.
Look at this high quality whiskey. Mmm. delicious.
High quality Mott's. I feed my son Mott's whiskey. That's weird.
Wow, dude, please don't show your underage drinking on the cam right now. Are you serious? Nick, this is out of control.
I could chug this all, the rest of this? That's
no,
a lot,
don't chug alcohol on the street. Nick.
Limbo. I never finished Limbo. So
is apple juice good with liquor? I wonder.
Oh, Limbo only takes like 2 hours.
I'm mostly done with Limbo.
Yeah, it's really finished. Good.
You could probably Limbo do apple juice and vodka, Nick.
Special experience.
I want to try that when I'm 21.
That's great, dude. Put that on your bucket list. That's great.
We now interrupt your scheduled programming to bring you an urgent broadcast from the front lines of America.
All right. We are back. And for those subscribers and Twitch super speed subscribers, you didn't see those commercials. But anyway, we are back with the news. And we're going to start out with Gaben, of course.
The man, the
myth. He was all over the news again. He did a lecture at the University of Texas. I don't know why Brandon didn't just stop whatever he was doing and drive over there.
I wanted to. I wish he could have done this approximately 3 years ago.
But he did an interview, and I'm not going to go too super in-depth, but I wrote myself some notes here, because the interview is an hour, or you can watch it, it's a lecture, it's an hour or something, or like 5 minutes long. I did watch the whole thing, because it was actually pretty damn interesting. He talked about how they had started, the idea for Valve came from how he saw how horribly wrong, he thought philosophically, like, hiring practices were for businesses back then. And his example was in 1991 or 92, Windows 3.1 came out, and, you know, Windows gets packaged on every PC you buy, right? So it should be really high on usage. It should be probably number one on the most used software. But instead, it was not the top used software. Doom. Doom was the number one used software in the world. Even more than Office productivity software or Windows or any of that. So he was like, so how do we beat this? And Microsoft, what they did was hire 500 salespeople. Straight up, just 500 salespeople to sell Windows 3.1 to retail outlets, not to customers. So they hired basically 500 peons to do this work and paid 500 people. And he said, you know, if I was to start a company, him and there was a couple, he was actually talked to John Carmack about starting Valve, and Carmack helped them out in the beginning. This is a few years before Valve even started. They said their hiring practices were going to be different. They weren't going to hire a lot of people ever. They were only going to hire the most expensive and best people. So that was going to be their thing. So if they only had 20 employees, they were going to be the 20 well-paid, very high-caliber employees. Because there's no point in wasting money on 500 people who can't do their job. So that was that was basically what he how the genesis of the idea for Valve started. Because he was at I did not know he was at Microsoft for 16 years.
Yeah, that's crazy long.
Through the genesis of DOS and Windows and all that stuff. So Gabe's had a bit of experience, more than you would think. But a couple other things that he hit during this lecture was that he's not concerned about the consoles at all. And this is not a console bashing thing, but he is not concerned about them because he doesn't see them as in his space at all with the Steam Box. He sees it as a different type of product. And he sees Apple as the thing that could kill both the consoles and the PC in the living room. Because if Apple makes a device, basically, that can run all your iOS games, casual gamers, that's what they do. They play on iPhones, they play on iPads. So if you give them a device where they can play all those games and do Apple TV and do their iTunes, and it hooks up to the TV, why do they even need to leave that ecosystem and get a new Xbox or get a new PlayStation or a Steam Box? So he says we need to get out to market with something really nice before Apple does. So that that is his thinking. And it was just kind of out of nowhere for a lot of people. It made a lot of headlines that he said Apple. And Apple's been had like the Pippin. I don't know if you guys remember that Pippin thing. It was just, it flopped horribly.
Well, it was designed as an educational device more than a straight up gaming console, too.
Yeah. So they haven't had a good history with it, being their history being the Pippin. And Macs have never had great game support either, but iOS has amazing game support. Say what you will about the ecosystem or whatever, but iPad and iPhone games are really mature, actually, at this point.
And, yeah, I mean, Bastion is excellent. There are plenty of good iOS games out there.
And game support on OS X is getting better, too. More and more developers are starting to port their games over there now that they've got some decent hardware.
So, I see it, Chaz. You can get iOS in the living room. You've got them locked up in every conceivable place.
Well, here's the thing. With Apple, all Apple has to do is put like make the Apple TV app compatible, and the ecosystem will grow up around it. Because, like, you look at all the different peripherals and stuff there are for iPads and iPhones, I don't even think Apple has to worry that much about, like, controller issues or things like that. People will make the peripherals to go hand-in-hand with it because they want a piece of that market. So I think I've noticed you had an article from Kyle Orland in here.
God damn it!
Where he was talking on Ars about how, like, that's a rumor that doesn't ever die, is this Apple making a game console. But I think Gabe is right in his thinking that, you know, the console makers are going to do what they do, and that's, there are people who are probably just going to get a console. They already know they're going to get a console. They like those the franchises they find on an Xbox or a PlayStation. But it's the rest of the market. It's the people that, you know, play just the casual games and stuff that I think you've got to worry about. And Apple could flip a switch and have 50% of that, you know, that living room gaming market.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and it's sorry, I keep referencing the chat, but people saying makes too much money off iPhones and iPads, don't think they'll go towards gaming. Like, those devices, there are people who own those devices, like hardcore gamers who own those devices just to play the games that are exclusive to them, because there's so many good ones in that Apple marketplace, because it's so curated. Like, there's a lot of quality in there.
It's just not, to me, it's not a matter of, obviously that rumor's been floating around forever, they're gonna make a console, but it's not a matter of will they, it's when will
they. Don't
they
need to make the console,
or not make
that's
the console
thing.
But yeah,
because they have Apple TV. How much is
that's
an
true.
Apple TV?
It's like $100.
It's awesome. We have one in our apartment, Rishi and I. It's fucking sick. I love
it. Yeah, my parents have one. They love it. Mm-hmm.
Throw iOS on there, make it $150, and you just captured a lot of people.
Release a game control for it, and you're done. Or let it use your iPad as like a touch device, like the Microsoft Surface thing that you can use.
Mm-hmm. So that's his main concern, is that Apple beats the Steam Box to market. The consoles, we already know, are going to probably have the same hardware, basically. They are using the same CPU, so they're not going to be a huge leap forward. So it's all a matter of the delivery system for them, and for him, he's not too concerned about that. He doesn't see it as the same space. So, Apple, of all people. But it makes a lot of sense, as we just went over, for Apple to do that.
All we've learned from this is that Gabe Newell is much more visionary than Kyle Orland.
Yes. In that, if Gabe wrote a game review, he would let you know what system he was playing the game
on. Here we go.
At the start of the review, and then you would know that. You wouldn't replace Ben Kuchera with an incompetent human being. Anyway,
there were a few other. I haven't gotten to watch the full talk yet, but one of these other articles that was on PC Gamer was talking about Gabe essentially saying that the TF2, there are people making TF2 items that are pulling in $500,000 a year. Yeah. That is what someone has earned in a year from making content within TF2. And like, so there are, you know, I guess designers and things at other companies who make more from the TF2 marketplace than they do from like their full-time jobs. Doing whatever they do. That seems crazy to me.
Well, I love the there's an anecdote he gives is when they first started shelling out huge bucks for the marketplace, PayPal actually stopped it because PayPal said the only people who move this amount of money normally are drug dealers. And so they had to like work something out with Valve like to get the payments out because it was just too large of an amount of money.
They said, oh, they're making hats.
Yeah.
Yep.
Not cocaine, hats.
Not even real hats, just virtual hats. That's all we're doing.
That are laced with
Pixely
cocaine.
Hats. Yes, you could make a cocaine hat.
You could. It'd be an expensive
It wouldn't stay
hat.
Around for very long, but sure.
You could make that cocaine
Snort
hat
that
if
shit
you
right away. What?
Are you still at the club, Scott?
Yeah, I'm just in club mode. No, I'm out of the club now. I'm in a food truck right now traveling down West Hollywood Boulevard.
Hijack the food truck?
Selling churros.
No, I just jumped in the back and I'm rolling in churros right now. Like I said, rubbing this cinnamon all over my body. I can't enjoy it. I can feel what it tastes like, though, because of the
You just feel the diabetes just setting in.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So that was pretty much the talk with him and the gist of what he said. He also did a lot of explanations on the economy that they've built over there and how they have economists hired at Valve to take a look at it. That's sort of old news at this point, but definitely go check it out if you're interested at all in how Valve works and why they work so well. Definitely check it out. It is an hour long, but you can kind of pop it in on the background and it's all right then. So moving on to this data mining story here, the Steam Registry, there's constantly people data mining the Steam Registry, which has like you know, like entries in it for games that aren't there or don't exist, or it was pages that were never made, or like test apps. And this time around, they found some pretty interesting stuff. And I actually added a link here because part of our conversation is rendered pointless in this because the Halo thing was debunked, which it wasn't going to happen.
Kind of debunked. They said what did they say? We currently do not have plans to release a Halo. That doesn't mean it's not ever going to come. Maybe. You know what? I'm sitting in my corner of denial right now, and I just really want it.
You sound like me with Half-Life 3, dude. Just let it go. Just let it die.
I also want Half-Life 3, but...
Yeah, well...
I actually take Half-Life 3 over Halo 3 PC, so...
Mm. Wow, okay.
Well, one of the suggestions was that another developer or possibly Steam themselves are using it as a way to hide a title that's in development.
It's possible. It's very possible. But
is that speculation from anywhere that's happened before, or is that just someone throwing theories out?
I think it's just someone throwing theories out there. But, if you were Valve and you needed to Steam test Half-Life 3, would you really put Half-Life 3 in there?
Yeah, that's a good point. You would not really
put Half-Life 3
in
there. And
what a troll it would be to put Halo 3 instead.
I feel like Valve would put a game in called Half-Life 3, and then it would end up being some like really shitty
Ricochet
game.
2, baby.
It would be some random game. It'd be Modern Warfare 4 under the guise of Half-Life 3.
Oh, that would just shit all over my dreams.
But there are some really cool things in here. It wasn't necessarily surprising, except for Halo, which we now have pretty much debunked. Everything else was kind of probably going to happen. But The Witness is the one that I'm really interested in. Obviously, we knew that game was coming, but the fact that it has a Steam entry already is a good sign. That's the game from Jonathan Blow, who created Braid. So this is his new game, which he hasn't ever given a release date on or anything yet. But...
And ironically, he's also a very, very big fan of cocaine hats. But
yes, last name Blow, cocaine hats.
Yep. So, all right,
Yeah, but the other interesting ones are Duke Nukem 3D, which has never been on Steam, oddly enough, is the Atomic Edition of that is in this list. A couple other things from Greenlight, like Octodad, Dadliest Catch, which is the Octodad sequel. Fez, which we knew was coming to PC.
Yes, I want it so badly.
Fez is in there. There's also some the interesting ones to me are the hardware demo, hardware VIP, and hardware internal, which clearly to me is the Steambox OS. Like, that is what that is the Steambox OS. And different builds for hardware vendors and Valve internally and that kind of thing. There's a LucasArts test app, which I think might be Dust 1313 or whatever that new Star Wars game.
Yeah, that's pretty likely.
Yeah.
A few other things that are kind of interesting on here, though, are the Android, well, not Android, but the mobile games that are in here. Angry Birds is on here.
Oh, thanks. I'll go ahead.
And Cut the Rope, which is a really popular mobile game.
Why would you cut the rope on...
Yeah, and it's really odd. Like,
I can't think of a game that I want to play more with my mouse and keyboard than Cut the Rope.
Cut the Rope.
Can't you already play that on Internet Explorer 9 or whatever?
I think so. I'm interested in King of Fighters 13, which is on here.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Definitely get that when that comes out.
Even though the Halo games aren't coming, I think it just shows that there's an interest in it, so that's good. So
Yeah, that's true.
People got really excited.
Yeah,
man.
A lot of people want that shit.
I was excited.
People want that shit. Make it.
I would love Halo.
Microsoft,
on the
we want to give you money, even though we hate you. Just make it.
I'll tell you one thing. Make it right a now, Windows if... 8 exclusive.
I don't care. I would upgrade to Windows 8.
You know what? They probably remember. Oh god, that would
they did
be
it
so
for
bad.
Halo. They did it for Halo 2, and Halo 2 on PC is garbage. So.
Yeah. So what's that going to tell you about Halo 3 on PC?
I'd play it anyway.
Listen, I'll be happy when they finally bring my favorite fighting game on the PlayStation 1, my favorite fighting game of all time, Star Wars Masters of Teras Kasi.
What a great
to,
game.
To the Steam platform. What a game. What a game. You guys may laugh.
What about Jedi Power Battles?
Well, Jedi Power Battles, yeah, but that wasn't a fighting game. This, I feel like Star Wars Masters of Teras Kasi should replace Street Fighter as the competitive game played right now, even
at
though it
Evo,
is the original
just,
PlayStation.
Just put it on.
Yeah,
just do it right now.
Good call.
What's so funny is that game is one of the worst games of all time, but I had so much fun with it at the time. Like, I rented it from Blockbuster for like a month straight and paid the overage fees or whatever just over and over to play with that fucking lightsaber. It was so fucking bad.
You could have bought the game like four times.
I know. I was the kid, dude. I was an idiot. I was an idiot.
That's Scott, you would have. I swear, you would have loved Galaxies. Like, I think really? I think if you had found Star Wars Galaxies, I think you would be a different person today.
Really?
just based on how much you seem to love these Star Wars games.
Yeah, I know, dude. I was such a sucker for them.
But there's also Quantum Conundrum 2 on this list, which means there's a sequel coming.
Goddamn youngins have never seen Masters of Terror. Sorry, I'm going to link something in chat, but anyway, go ahead.
Is Resident Evil Revelations, is that 6?
Yeah,
or is that an old
6.
God, that game is shit. Don't get that.
Every
game.
Resident Evil game after 2 is garbage. Well, 4 is all right, but 2 is the best.
I don't know if I've seen a lower Metacritic.
But 4,
than Resident
but 4
Evil
is
6.
4 is when Resident Evil stopped being scary.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, yeah. I don't even count it really as a Resident Evil game. It's more like a third-person shooter. Like, if you want a real scary Resident Evil game, I've never been so scared of a game in my entire life as Resident Evil 2. When I was a kid, we had it in my bedroom. My parents left for the evening. My brother's just sitting on my bed. I'm sitting on the edge of my bed playing Resident Evil 2, and you get to the scene where you have to like go through the interrogation room to pick up like a fuse for the electrical box. And you walk through, you pick it up. It's okay, now you can turn the lights on. And you turn around and walk back out of the room past the two-way plate glass, and one of the lickers jumps through it and grabs you.
Yeah.
I screamed so loud and threw my controller and like was like, yeah. "Oh my god!" I've never.
Yeah, Resident Evil 1 had that moment with the dog coming through the window in the hallway, and I seriously did throw my controller.
I remember
across
that vividly, actually.
Yeah, that's a gaming moment I will never ever forget.
So I guess Revelations is not Resident Evil 6.
Oh, it's not? So, I thought it was.
So there you go. Thought it was.
It's probably gonna suck. So.
Yeah. So. Some interesting stuff in the Steam files there. Man, I was hoping Halo was real. I actually was hoping that.
Yeah, I kind of was too, and I'm not even a Halo fan. But I would like to try like a decent Halo game on the PC, and maybe I would be a Halo fan.
Yeah. So, it's a DS game? That's really crazy. Okay. The Revelations game.
Wait, it's in the Steam library?
Yeah. There's a lot of mobile games in there, though. Isn't Dyad and Retrograde mobile? Or am I wrong on that?
I ain't no nerd.
so
I think
moving on.
The Steam registry just has a lot of things in it that may or may not be real.
Yeah.
It has League of Legends in it, so there you go. Blizzard and Riot this past week also put out some pretty not big articles, not in the case of this Blizzard one that I have in here, but Riot's was like several pages.
Riot launched an entirely new site.
Yeah. With a very unfortunate name, but.
But Blizzard on bringing esports onto the TV will appeal to a mainstream audience. I don't know that we're quite there yet, Blizzard, but maybe not in America, but we're close.
We've tried to be there before, and it didn't work out so well. So.
But it works in Korea with StarCraft, but not really here so much.
You know, I don't know that that is necessarily as true as you think. My friend Joanne was just here from South Korea, and I was like, do you just watch StarCraft like all the time? And she was like, I think I've seen it once. But it's always on at like 3 o'clock in the morning on like some weird channel. I know that's the rumor, like, oh, it's like their baseball. It's always on TV from somebody that lives there all the time.
Yeah, but I think it is actually, though. She might not watch it, though.
She's also said she doesn't have the best cable package. So maybe it's like,
yeah, maybe her APM is really shitty. Maybe she should get it up in a higher tier. She blows. Get a six rack. You suck. Kill yourself. Uninstall. That's what I would say to her.
Wow. Wow.
I'll pass that information along.
That's what I say to her. I say, get out of here.
Wow.
Don't even get Heart of the Swarm. You done. Don't even. Just stay out. Don't be hopping on Hots when it comes. Don't be hopping on it. No. I'm diamond. Wow. I'm diamond. I'm platinum.
Nick Fenton's.
Got more ice. I'm icier than
StarCraft 2
right
cred
now.
Is not just in kidding, question.
Just kidding. I'm Bronze League. I'm awful.
So, this was an interview with the lead producer of StarCraft 2, Chris Sagatti. Is his last name. But he was talking about what he thinks esports needs to do to take the next step. And obviously, he says something really obvious in the first part, is that advertisers realizing that they can make money and that this is a viable thing. Well, I mean, yeah, that's right. Obviously the goal. Yep.
Has to be advertising money behind it.
Oh, yeah.
He says he feels they've been really close, and I feel like we are really close, actually, with how much you see League and Dota and StarCraft, although StarCraft's been on somewhat of a decline, partially because Heart of the Swarm isn't out, and it's coming out.
The thing is, there's so many people still playing StarCraft, and everybody's like, oh my god, StarCraft's dying, and it's not even close.
No, I'm not saying it's dying.
I know, but people are like, they think it's the end of the world. It's like, StarCraft is still such a huge game. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
I actually like to watch StarCraft.
StarCraft is fun to watch.
Yeah.
One thing I feel like, though, that we've talked about this before with the whole esports argument, but like, esports is not going to traditional meet. Like, esports is thriving in the live stream space. That's where it will thrive. It doesn't. Esports is not going to go. Maybe it will someday, but you know, that's not going to go the way of TV because that the audience for esports.
Yeah, the people
is
that are
on the internet.
The people that play the games are the ones that are watching the live streams.
What I see happening is that cable, in my opinion, cable TV as a thing is fucked. Like, it is so screwed. Maybe not, you know, now, maybe not in 5 years, but 10, 15 years down the line, cable TV as you know it right now, I don't know if it's going to be a thing.
No, and they know that, and they're terrified, which is why they try and do this kind of bullshit, like, cap internet bandwidth per month, because like when former
don't stream
former executives from cable companies have come out at this point and said those bandwidth caps we initiated those had nothing to do with network congestion, we just wanted to find a way to charge you.
I think everyone knows that at this point, but I think Scott's right though. I mean that I think esports is already kind of getting there at the there are definitely more advertising dollars being put behind it now than ever, and I think that just keeps growing as you see teams getting sponsored by, you know, Red Bull and Razer, and I think more companies are seeing that there is a lucrative market there. But I think Scott's right that I don't know that getting it on TV is the measure of success. The measure of success is can you actually make money from your events and, you know, from your sponsorships and stuff? Can it be profitable? Not necessarily is it on TV, because in many ways I think the TV kind of the attempts at getting esports on TV has been pretty bad.
Yep.
Like, I don't understand. I would agree with you, and I don't understand why these. It's Riot and Blizzard both come out a decent amount and say, "Yeah, the goal is to, and MLG as well. The goal is to get on TV. The goal is to get on TV." It doesn't really need to.
It doesn't.
You just need to attract more people to the streams.
I think they would do well to look at the production value of things on TV. I think that's and I think Riot, at least from what I've seen so far, I think they have done a pretty good job of trying to emulate a more TV-like experience. And I think that's more important than anything. You look at the stuff on TV, the production value is there, and that's what people like about it. I think that you've got to get shoutcasting and event casting up to that level of production value, and then people will continue to come because they're getting that same high class experience that they get, you know, from watching real sports, hockey, NBA, NFL, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing with as far as trying to get it on TV and the failed attempts in the past is at that point you're letting people who do the same kind of TV shows as like Minute to Win It and Deal or No Deal try and run something they have no idea how it works, yeah. like or what it's supposed to look like. It's not like the guys from Twitch, like Fuzzy and John, would be at NBC designing an esports show. It would be some douchebag executive that's like, yeah, this is popular online. We can make it happen on NBC, and it would go 3 episodes, and then it would be laughed off television.
I want to see the top 5 League of Legends teams participate on Wipeout. That's what I want to see.
Wipeout. Yeah.
You know, Scar, I can't make it through that course.
I mean, I think I do. I think I agree, too. Like, it's funny. Like, it's weird when you're in it, and because I don't think esports has ever had levels of popularity, at least as it does right now, across multiple games. StarCraft, Dota, League of Legends, even the Counter-Strike scene, which is still super small, relatively, is doing decently, as far as like they're trying with tournaments and stuff with Go. But it's like, when you're in it, it's hard to see the success. It's like, dude, fucking hundreds of thousands of people tune in to watch League Finals or StarCraft. Like, that's a lot of people who are invested in seeing people at the top of their game play this, you know, whatever you call it, if you want to argue if it's a sport or not, play this esport or play the same game that they play. And one of the arguments, too, I've been getting with people is sometimes I feel like there's a superiority complex in people that have played competitively before. I won't name any names. But, like, the idea, like, games should cater on purpose to the hardcore gaming crowd or the hardcore gamers who will put time and dedication into it. And to me, that is the most asinine, stupid argument when it comes to trying to spread esports. The reason games like StarCraft and League of Legends and Dota are popular is because that same game that you play at your mediocre skill level is pretty much, for the most part, the same game that is played by the pros that you watch, and you instantly connect with understanding that that person that is controlling that champion that you play is about 1,000 times better than you, but it's something that feels attainable, and you can appreciate how good they are, and they do shit you've never seen before.
Yeah, and that's
really
what,
like,
you should want.
Yeah,
exactly. That's the thing with sports too. It's like
the attractive thing.
Football is football.
Yeah. If you play high school basketball and then you go watch the NBA, it's the same game. It's
exactly.
Obviously.
I mean, albeit small rule changes like everything else, but yeah, same thing.
You're saying it correctly.
Football.
You're saying it correctly. Like if the sport you're playing, you know, you play basketball in high school, it is the exact same game in the NBA. Yep. Just played at an extremely high level. Right. And that was what made me play World of Warcraft for a long time, honestly. Was seeing these top-end guilds work like well-oiled machines, and I wanted to do that, and I wanted to be at the top of it. Right. And that's why, you know, I no-lifed it forever in that game. But, that's the motivation. Like, you can start as a casual player and then get into it. And that's why, like, Counter-Strike, you know, you get that competitive mode. It's the same rules as the pros are playing by. And, you know, you hit a couple of sweet shots. It feels good. You're like, man, you know... That kind of thing. If there was nothing to aspire to, there'd be no point as a casual player. Even if you're playing casually, you want to know that there's something out there or be impressed by watching something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I think people, for the most part, are starting to see that. And I feel like the failed attempts in the past, like, I mean, a perfect example of a failed attempt in the past at trying to make esports on television viable, it was the championship gaming series, the CGS, that, I mean, a lot of people don't even know it existed because it got wiped off the face of the map. But in the Counter-Strike community, they took Counter-Strike Source, and there was also Dead or Alive was the fighting game. They had, I don't know if it was Project Gotham Racing, but it was DirecTV.
Wow, Dead or Alive. Wow.
Yeah. Of and DirecTV was involved. They had a whole fucking show. I mean, it was a channel dedicated to that whole thing. DJ Wheat was involved in it. A lot of famous shoutcasters and stuff got involved, and it was like a perfect example of what you guys were saying about how, like, they definitely pulled in some esports people, but, like, they would do stuff like show entire matches of Counter-Strike at a third-person perspective.
I mean, and if anyone has ever played Counter-Strike, right away you're like, what the this is awful.
Yeah, there's nothing impressive.
No, it's like, terrible.
Can't, the impressive thing is seeing a dude clutch from his perspective, you know? Like,
yeah, and it was super disappointing because everyone thought that was going to be like the success. That was going to work, and it was just like you said, probably at the top, like people that just didn't understand it and thought that they would, that they could figure it out. And it's like, no, and that's why I'm excited about Twitch, because I feel like Twitch is like, obviously, as it gets bigger and bigger, is the leader when it comes to kind of really getting esports into the mainstream. Like, I spend more time, I will say this honestly, I spend more time on Twitch than I do on any other website, watching whether it's league streams, whatever, anything that's going on. We have cable. I don't use cable. I watch streams. No, that's what I do.
I got rid of cable, yeah. But like every Wednesday I'll watch, I mean, I've said this in a million different one of these now, every Wednesday I watch Next Level Battle Circuit on Spooky's channel. Just every Wednesday, that's what I do. And, you know, HD fighting game stream, you know, I'll watch that every Wednesday. That's my TV.
Well, even like you said earlier, Scott, I mean, 100,000 people watched the league championships. Today when Fuzzy tweeted out the new gallery, I just hopped on it to check it out. And 65,000 people were watching league today on a Monday for no reason. Like, that's huge numbers.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Not even a special event. Yeah. It's fucking nuts.
To put that in perspective, like when the Penguins were terrible in the early 2000s, when they had no money and were terrible.
$10 tickets to sit on the ice. It was amazing.
Yeah, it was amazing. That was amazing. But the local ratings, it was like 50,000 people watching the game. Like, an NHL hockey game.
Yeah,
exactly. And there's 100,000 people watching a league tournament.
Like, yeah, more than that, even. I mean, in the 500,000. I mean, I think that's been their, I forget what their top numbers were at one of their tournaments, but yeah, it was something stupid.
I think.
Yeah,
I think
and Boy today, who's just a personal streamer because he had a Reddit post. Someone posted on Reddit about a stream. He had 50,000 concurrent viewers playing solo queue.
Did I say something about Boy Boy right now?
What?
Just set up a goddamn scene. He does the overlay. Oh god, my mic boom just fell. He uses the little overlay for his camera and stuff. And he doesn't change it when it goes to his desktop. It's the most irritating thing. You have thousands of people watching. You can't make a goddamn scene. God damn it.
Wow. Nick Fent.
I agree with you there.
Tell us how you really feel, Nick.
Nick's had some fire tonight.
Just
indeed.
Do it. It's not that hard.
It really isn't.
Boy is one of the best.
Thousands and thousands and thousands of people watching you.
I'm Although, serious. To be fair, I think that every time Dan plays Isaac, I'm like, for the love of Christ, just make a goddamn scene. I hate the way you play this game online.
I got so mad my hood fell off. So that's how you know I'm talking right now.
So I'm still baffled by the fighting games. Fucking, they don't want to be esports. I don't get it. It's the best. 1v1. 1v1 is so good.
That community, man, is you know.
They hate it.
They hate it. Yeah, they do.
So, yes, we're going to cut that, Brandon. So, moving on. That was a good discussion, though. I'll take that. Brandon, you put in this last article here. I did see a picture of this, but go ahead and hop into it here. Yeah, it is fucking insane.
So I added this in late just because I thought it was really awesome, and it's one of those things that I love about video games. And like, so EVE Online is a game I've never played, but I know it's one that has a very hardcore following. And yes.
It's a really advanced spreadsheet editor.
Yeah, I mean,
it is economy. The game is mostly economy.
Yeah. Exactly. So it always fascinates me when events happen and then they get reported on, just because I think it's interesting how all these events play out. So there in EVE, they had this massive battle that caused what equates to thousands of dollars of losses.
It wasn't like $42,000 or something ridiculous like that.
It was some very high number. I mean, granted, you can't actually convert that back to real life money,
right?
So it's a little bit overstated, but it's kind of crazy to think that you're destroying, you know, that kind of value.
Right. And if you play the game, I think it equated to what, like 725 trillion ISK, which is the in-game currency.
Yeah, it was this.
Every time you read about anything with EVE Online, you're like, holy fuck. It's crazy.
Yeah,
those people are nuts. Like, I have friends that play that game, and they just, all they talk about is, oh man, I got the power core on my ship to do this so I can add a warp engine to it and get to mine faster.
I'm watching this battle right now. It's like the opening scene of Star Wars Episode 3. This is amazing.
Yeah. This reminds me, Brandon, of the opening of Encourage, and wow. That's what it reminds me of.
And that's the worst part. Like, that stuff always looks really fun, but to get to that point, like, enjoy the first 500 hours of just mining asteroids for nothing.
I love this. On January 27th, two of Eve's largest ally groups, the Clusterfuck Coalition and the Honey Badger Coalition, clashed with full force in this sector. And I guess it was started by a misclick.
Yeah, this guy,
apparently.
that was the thing that I thought was so interesting. That's this crazy. Guy, the largest ship in the game is called a Titan, and it's just this incredibly expensive vehicle or ship or whatever. So this Titan pilot apparently misclicked. He was attempting to bridge and he warped instead, and like I guess in contested space, and that just set off the alarms, and all of a sudden, shooting. Like people are calling in their ships to have this battle.
Look at the fucking picture.
The thing I thought was really interesting about that article is they'd said like for high level corporations in that game, people literally like keep their cell phones on in case something happens, so they can get back to the game. And it's like, are you fucking kidding me? Like this is like a full time job.
Yeah.
And to go back to Brandon's economy point, you can literally game that economy. Because I played it for a little while with friends. Like, you can just take out platinum insurance on a ship that you don't like and then drive it into contested space and explode it for more than the cost of what the ship is worth and then go buy a better ship. Just,
it's like real life.
Yeah, you can commit insurance fraud in the game. It's amazing.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
I love the results of this battle. The Honey Badgers lost 6 Dreadnoughts, 11 Carriers, and 1 Super Carrier, which I'm guessing costs a lot. But the Clusterfucks, man, they got wrecked. 44 Dreadnoughts, 29 characters, 5 Super Carriers, and 3 Titans. Rapes.
I want to know if, like, the people, when they're talking to each other, like, if they're communicating like they're actually, like, driving ships. They're like, man, your battle station!
Oh, yeah, they definitely are.
Yeah.
The people that play that game are hard. Like, take the hardest core WoW player you've ever played with and then multiply it by 100 because they have sunk thousands of hours and possibly dollars into
years
an actual spaceship. Like,
wow. Yeah. So, all right, moving on to the quick hits as we finish out the news. Dirty Bomb entered closed alpha, and you can play for a mere $240 right now.
I thought it was only you get in for like the $29 pack.
No, not in the closed alpha.
Yay. Not
the closed alpha. That's beta. You're in beta for $29.
But alpha. For beta. Yay.
And you get to talk directly with the devs for either $320 or $240.
Dude, a dev better come blow me for that kind of money.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
I would pay $240.
The only reason I would pay that money to go in the IRC is to ask them when they're going to release Enemy Territory 2.
We should get a Kickstarter going just so that we can raise that money so you can ask that question in the IRC.
I would pay to tell them that they should apologize to my face about Brink. Like, they should apologize for it.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. Like, if you're going to charge that kind of money, why would you think, like, oh, yeah, our last game was so awesome, it would totally be worth somebody coming in and paying $300 to play our new one? Like, no, you owe me $300 for Brink.
Where do you get off splash damage?
See, I don't think it's so much as them thinking that, like, people are going to do it. I think they were just like, let's just do this funny thing that no one did. And we're taking it as, like, oh man, they're so arrogant. I just think,
who bought that? Like, I wonder if anyone bought
it. Dude, people have money and they do stupid things with it all the time. I guarantee it.
So
I mean, and those guys all have family members. So
yeah. So
that's true.
Next up, one of the craziest puzzlers we had ever seen since we started this website. First reported on it back in August 2011. The game Antichamber has been released.
Oh god, it hurts.
And yeah, it will hurt your head from everything I've heard. I guess it's all non-Euclidean geometry and shit.
Has anybody been mediated?
Yeah, those are words, yeah.
And, yeah, I think it's like $15, maybe. Might be
less. I think it was $15.
It's $15. It's on sale right now for $15, I believe, on Steam.
So it launched, and I've seriously heard only good things. I say that about a lot of stuff. I have literally only heard good things about Antichamber.
Has anybody played it besides me yet?
Nope.
I have not.
I literally, like, it's fun, and it's a really interesting concept on, like, a puzzle game, but I'm to a point now where my brain is not big enough to play. Like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, and I don't know how to figure out what I'm supposed to do, so I've just stopped until there's a walkthrough.
I was listening to Giant Bomb today, and they were just basically like, I have, like, 9 rooms I'm at right now on the map, and I just can't get out of them. Like,
yeah.
I'm just stuck at, like, 9 different points. completely stuck. So if you're into puzzle games, and a lot of people are saying this is kind of the next evolution, whereas Portal was a huge step forward for puzzle games, and the Antechamber is kind of the next step beyond that, even as far as what it does. So you might want to check that out. And we're going to end the news here with a sad bit of news.
Is it sad, though? Is it?
It would have been sad like 3 or 4 years
ago. Yeah, it's true. Medal of Honor is dead. It is dead. The franchise is over, at least for the foreseeable future. EA has pulled it due to the bad sales and general bad reception of Warfighter, which they really gave so much support to and put it out in such a good time. Thanks, EA. You really didn't shoot that in the foot anyway. Rushed the game out and put it in the week between Halo 4 and Black Ops 2.
Great launch.
All right, dude. Yeah.
Especially for a shooter.
Yep. Really gonna sell.
I mean, it's almost like EA learned their lesson that you can't just completely milk the title of a franchise. But
oh,
they probably
they
didn't. No, they really didn't. They really
based
didn't.
Based on the justification, their COO paints a pretty rosy picture of them pulling Medal of Honor.
Yeah,
they've been making Need for Speed games about four games too long now, so they're smoking that.
By 2015, we can expect another Medal of Honor.
The game was solid, but the focus on combat authenticity did not resonate with our consumers.
Yeah, combat authenticity.
Yeah, that's what happened.
I mean, you know, like, there's a certain point in your life, like, you have to be working in a corporation and been doing PR spin for a certain amount of time for you to wake up and literally, I bet you just spit that out of his ass. Like, he was just like, it wasn't even he didn't even try.
He didn't have to revise his initial sentence. Like, that's the first thing he
that
wrote.
That was the first thing that popped in his head. He was like, the game was solid.
Let's put some business words together in a sentence and then we'll just say that. That sounds good. Yeah. Okay.
Our cross synergy promotion, unfortunately, did not resonate with our target user audience.
Like, yeah, that's pretty much,
Yeah. Cross synergy promotion, X, man.
AKA
you have a future, man.
Dude, I am about to work for EA as the new head of Origin, and we're gonna close it down.
How to be an EA employee? More day one DLC, more pre-order bonuses, and then that's all you do. That's all you.
Also, less dev time and less money for developers.
More DRM.
Yeah, that too. Definitely that.
It just sucks that MOHA was really, really fucking good, and then
last good.
This is what has happened.
There will be as many MOHA servers running 10 years from now as there are today.
That's probably true. Accurate. Yeah,
that's probably true. So that is it for the news, guys. We're gonna take one more commercial break here for 60 seconds, and we'll be right back with Twitter questions.
MOHA is really good, by the way.
Yes.
If you haven't bought that on Good Old Games, you need to do that.
Oh yeah, I bought the War Chest when it was on sale.
It's so good.
Totally worth it.
It really does kind of suck though. So that it died in that unceremoniously.
I just think they probably mean it's not in their Call of Duty cycle anymore. I think they're just gonna wait, and they're gonna bring back Medal of Honor in like 4 years, mm-hmm. and it's gonna be the biggest thing they've ever done. They're gonna put so much marketing behind it. That's all they're doing.
Why didn't they? If they were gonna do that, just make the DICE team do it. Battlefield already sells gangbusters, like.
Because they're working on Battlefield 4. You can already get access to that beta.
You got to get the beta through Medal of Honor. They should just They should do beta chains. They should you get a Battlefield beta with Medal of Honor, and then you get a Medal of Honor beta with Battlefield, and they just alternate and go back
forever for the rest of our years.
Infinite betas.
The issue for me, like the Frostbite engine, while awesome, Medal of Honor should have its own proprietary. I know it's not the cheapest thing to do. It should have its own engine. To me, like, if what was the one before this one, the other Medal of Honor? Wasn't there another one?
It was just called Medal of Honor. Yeah.
Oh, it was just Medal of Honor, which wasn't terrible.
It was awful.
It was awful.
Oh. It reminded me of Battlefield. It just felt like Battlefield on a smaller scale to me. Because
the multiplayer, are you talking about the multiplayer?
Yeah, the multiplayer.
That's because that was developed by DICE.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying, though. But the engine, it's the same engine. And like, and wasn't this on the same engine? This was on the...
Yeah, it was still on Frostbite.
This was Frostbite. The whole thing on Frostbite 2. The single player for Medal of Honor from 2010, it was on a different
engine.
They're
using that for everything.
The new Medal of Honor needs to be on the Crysis engine. There you go. That would be great.
Yeah, have fun getting, Crytek.
They won't, because Crytek said, fuck you, EA, we're out after Crysis 3.
Or they need to sell, better yet, they need to sell the Medal of Honor name, and someone competent should pick it up. And then bring it back to the old days.
Cryo, good. You tessellated your tessellation.
Why don't we let Splash Damage do it? They're pretty good shooters,
get out,
right?
Just get out of the call.
God like, damn.
The Dirty Bomb gameplay looks like Brink. Like, the way the guns move.
Yeah, it looks like it.
It doesn't look like Brink in the way that the gameplay does, but, like, the way they're just...
Don't get me going. Just...
let's just think of happy things. Like,
I want to be positive. I want to play it.
It's going to be free to play, I believe.
Yeah, it is. Not totally sure,
but it's going to suck?
It is going to suck.
I'm going to be free not to play it. That's for sure.
Yeah.
That's
fair. Yeah. It's a good attitude to have.
And now it's time for Twitter questions with the KB Mod Podcast.
So our first Twitter question comes from @TheOneHipster. If you had to have sex with one Sesame Street character, who would it be and why?
This is so easy for me, sadly. It shouldn't be this simple.
Wow.
I knew immediately. Like, I had my answer in like 3 seconds.
That explicit. I would fuck Oscar the Grouch. This is the reason.
That is not what I was going
to
say.
I wanted to see what the inside of his trash can looked like. So I feel like he would take me home. He'd pull me under the trash can. And I imagine it, like, when you get pulled down there, it's fucking, like, a huge, like, he has a mansion.
Haven't they been down in the trash can before?
Have they?
I thought they have.
Not in my era.
I'm trying to remember my area of Sesame Street. I don't think so.
The 80s, boy. Yeah.
Maybe they have then. Maybe I've misspoke, but I would love to see what's down there. So that'd be my answer.
Elmo, but an older Elmo.
Actually, I think
Elmo
can do that.
Graying hair.
KB my childhood ruiners.
I'm pretty sure that Elmo is over 18 at this point.
Yeah, dude.
The guy that plays Elmo would be into it. Like,
so
I'd go.
I'd go with
Cookie Monster, but instead of smoking cigarettes after we bang, we would smoke the cookies.
I was actually going to say Cookie Monster as well. I bet that dude is super aggressive.
Cookie.
I
think,
he would destroy your dick. You'd have no chance.
Cookie.
He only has one mode, and that's like chop, so he wouldn't even fellatio. It would be terrible. You're like, oh, you're hurting me. And he'd be like, oh,
no teeth.
Yeah, but maybe it would be good then. You're right. He has no teeth.
I don't even.
It could be good.
I would say.
And he's a furry, if you're into the whole furry thing, furry.
Yeah, thing. That's true.
I don't think it would hurt. They're all made out of like felt, so.
You'd like the felt burn.
It has someone's hand in it, so that's kind of.
You would squeeze the cookie batter out of your ding dong.
I'm pretty sure the best.
Oh my god! And we're about to get a cease and desist from the Henson.
The best answer is in chat right now, though. It? Unfortunately, that's a DP with Bert and Ernie.
Oh my god!
Yep, that wins. I don't even know how to top that.
Bieber.
Yeah.
Bieber.
Bert would just get super angry. Like,
do you think he would do the pigeon afterwards? Do you remember when he used to do the pigeon? He used to like dance around like a pigeon because Bert loved pigeons. Like,
yeah, he did. Bert loved pigeons.
He had
pigeons.
A creepy thing for pigeons. Like,
he was too poor to be into falconry. That's why.
I still say Grover. I would go for Grover.
Grover would be gentle.
Yeah, that's why. I think Grover would be into it. He would like take you out to a nice meal, bring you home, a little Barry White, some candles, just make sweet, passionate love to you.
Can I pick the black guy from the pharmacy or whatever? Because that's what I don't remember his name, but I want that guy.
Oh my god.
Does that count? Or
no, Fozzie. Fozzie the Bear is a good one.
He's not on Sesame Street, he's a Muppet.
Snuffleupagus with that trunk. You could do some work.
Oh man, you're right.
You could twerk that trunk,
dude.
You could
twerk it.
Oh my god.
Brandon?
I don't know.
We've just ruined everyone's childhood, so I don't know. Can you?
That's maybe one of the best Twitter questions. The Swedish chef? Oh, that you would not understand what was happening.
Hurdy gurdy hurdy. Thuglufa.
Thuglufa. First we take the penis and then we take the condom.
Oh my god. That was Indian sounding. First we take the penis, then we take the condom.
Animals.
Condom getting... modern.
Oh my god, please.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
No.
Sorry.
I can't. Don't sorry.
Gangnam Style had managed to stay away.
I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. He just referenced it anyway.
Thuglufa.
We don't need a delve.
We definitely don't need Delph.
We're fine.
I choose Tiger Woods. That's not a Sesame Street character, but we'll take it. Wow, I just went to the bottom of the document. Holy shit.
Oh, God. What's this?
It's Agent Cody Banks. Okay.
Oh, yeah, Agent Cody Banks.
At Try to Beat That asked, what's the best keyboard we have used?
I don't use any fancy keyboard, so I have no input.
I like my G15.
I was going to say, my G500 is definitely the best one I've ever used.
G500? That's a mouse.
Or 510, sorry.
It's the mechanical one, right?
No, that's a 710 Plus.
710, that's what I have at work, is the 710. The...
Is it really nice? Because I've been thinking about it.
The only issue is that the... I believe it's a 710. I think it is.
I think it was a 6. Wasn't it a 610 something?
Maybe it's not the high. Yeah, it's in the series, but it's the backlit keys are the only thing that sometimes will go in and out. So that's like one of the review kind of things. But mine have been fine. But dude, the feeling of it's like in between. Keys? It's not too loud either. It's a good feel. Backlit, yeah.
Solid feel.
I like it a lot.
It's
workable. It's like $120 though. So
ripped really, for your enjoyment.
Yeah, it's not cheap.
Yeah, I have a DOS keyboard professional. It's awesome.
Yeah, Brandon has the nicest keyboard here, so.
Actually, I like my Lenovo that I use at work, which I'm sure is like a cheap ass keyboard, but I like it a lot for some reason.
You know what? Sean's Model M was also really nice.
Yes. That was great during the Extra Life stream because the camera was pointed right at it, and like half the people that comment, they're like, why does a guy have such a shitty keyboard? It's made from like 1980. And
yeah,
like,
it's
such a so nice keyboard. Amazing.
It's a Model M. It was great.
Can you buy Model M's now?
Yeah, you can still get them on eBay. Like they're like, but they're not even really expensive. They're like,
they're mechanical, right?
Aren't they the spring-loaded keys?
Might be. There's a Model M for $100.
Oh, I've seen them.
And
like
Sean now chimes in with gloating about how many he has of them.
He has three Model M's. So
get mod. Yeah.
Good thing he's going to be donating two of them to the KB Mod Extra Life charity next this
coming year. That's really nice of you, Sean. Thanks.
So nice.
Thanks, great guy.
Because you don't need three, dude. You just need two.
He needs two backups in case that one ever dies.
Yeah. All right. Next question at Sam. That's the Twitter name.
It is.
Which album, movie, and game do you think that everybody should experience before they die? That's three.
He can't just come in here with three. No, that's no. He gets
one. That's a lot.
We'll answer one of those. What are we going to choose to answer? That's no.
Should we do games? This is a gaming podcast.
I'll do all three. You guys go.
I'll do all three.
I know what your movie's going to be. It's going to be Jurassic Park. Your album's going to be the Jurassic Park soundtrack, and your game's going to be the Jurassic Park game. Did I just spoil it for everyone?
That's what I was wondering about this question. Is it or does it have to be related? Like we
he
have
knows
to...
it. Look at Nick. It is.
He left. He hung up. He hung up. We lost Nick Fenton.
I knew it.
My
I
goodness.
Knew it.
He hung up. Jesus.
Oh man. Anyway.
I'll go because I actually have this thought of. I don't think they have to be related.
No, I think it's just things you think they need to experience.
So, I think album for me is between two, either Nine Inch Nails, The Downward Spiral.
That is mine.
Which is an excellent album.
Yeah, that was yours, Nick.
Or Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness, of course, for me. And then for movie, for me personally, although a lot of people think it's like overrated now, I think it's like a hipster thing to say now, Fight Club.
That was going
to
be mine too!
Oh my God.
We're like twinsies.
Such a good movie.
Our games won't be the same, though. I think Final Fantasy VII is something everyone should experience. It's not my favorite game of all time, but it's close. But everyone should experience that game for what a game can be at full potential. So that's me. All
right. My game is Halo 1 Cooperative, with like sitting next to a person.
That's actually a good one. I did play it that way, and that was probably the only way I've ever had fun with Halo.
That's the first shooter that I've ever played, so...
Are you jerking them off at the same time while you play through it?
Well, of course.
Yeah, that's
the best way to play it through.
Just making sure. would be mine. Did you say movie, Dan? Oh, you said Fight Club. Yeah.
I did say Fight Club.
Oh, man. I'm trying to think for movie. For me, album-wise would be, surprise, surprise, Coheed and Cambria's In Keeping Secrets of Silent Earth.
Nice. That album. Solid.
Yeah, that's a good... That's my favorite album by them. Game would be Half-Life 2. I think everyone should play Half-Life 2. Because it does so many good things. Oh God, movie. I'll come back. Come back to me on this one.
Movie's the tough one for me too.
Yeah, it's one movie.
For me, I would say my album is a tie between Radiohead's OK Computer and Queens of the Stone Age Rated R. I think everyone should experience both of those albums. My game would be the original Metal Gear Solid for PlayStation 1. That is like one of the most perfect games in my opinion.
That is a pretty perfect game.
Dude, I played the demo from the PlayStation Magazine of that when that came out for like...
Yeah.
For like 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I did the same thing. The game. I guess if I had to pick a movie.
Oh, God.
That's such a hard one because.
I mean, I think we all can agree that when Justin met Kelly or whatever. Or
oh, well, that.
Just Guarini?
Yeah, dude.
That was I think that one without saying. Did you even have to mention that one? Yeah,
that's true. I don't have to.
Spider-Man 3?
Well, definitely. That's up there.
Sure.
My boy Topher Grace.
Now Scott has left the
Topher pack. Grace. Can we get a chant going for Topher?
Oh, okay. That's enough.
Boy, actually, E.
I think if I have to pick just one movie, probably.
Say Old Boy and show us how fucked up you are.
I've seen Old Boy and that movie is fucked. I would probably say The Godfather, which is a really cliche answer, but it's honestly
it's a really good movie,
one of
though.
The best movies I've ever seen. Like, I still will watch it anytime it's on. I have it downloaded. Like, I will watch it over and over again.
Backdoor Sluts 9. Solid movie.
Solid. Actually, it's a little fluid at the end, but...
Actually, it's a lot of
okay,
fluid.
Okay, yeah, it's really fluid at the end.
My runner-up album would be Looking for Better Days by Bangs. Looking for Better Days.
yeah. Absolutely.
Throw it up. Everybody throw it up. Looking for better days.
What about you, Brandon?
Let's see. For album, I'd probably go either Ride the Lightning or Master of Puppets from Metallica.
Good choices. Both solid
old school
choices.
Metallica is solid.
Movie, I'd go with Tombstone. Game.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I think World of Warcraft, honestly.
Experiencing WoW at the height of WoW.
Yeah, I think you would have to add the caveat that, like, you would have to play it during Burning Crusade because now it's still not the same game.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say because, like, the game, my opinion of games was so closely tied to when they were in their prime. But I think overall, WoW is probably, like, the most complete game that I've ever played.
Yeah, I'll get with you there. That's good. Scott, so what's that movie, dude?
Oh my God. Wow. I just can't. This isn't like one. I don't know. I'm still a fan, you know, as much as it pains me. The Sixth Sense is one of my favorite movies of all time. Even with the how cliche it is now, like, oh,
that was pre-suck Shyamalan.
Yeah, that was total pre-suck. That was his first bit. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
The first time I saw that, yeah, like that was a
I liked it a lot.
Movie.
That blew my mind originally, back in the day. I knew.
Should we not spoil it?
Should we not spoil it?
Like we're gonna spoil the Hobbit.
I feel like if it's like 10+ years old, like that is.
We can't spoil the Hobbit. We can't.
Please don't spoil the Hobbit. I still haven't seen it. I fell asleep during the movie.
Hey, guess what? They desolate Smaug. I'm sorry.
That's the second movie. Are you kidding me? I hate you, Nick Fenton.
Oh my God! It's almost like the second movie is called Desolation of Smaug. That's the title
dude,
of the movie.
Fuck you.
And the
worst friend, NA.
And they get back. Did you know Hex? He gets back.
On that M. Night Shyamalan thing, though, I liked Unbreakable a lot.
Unbreakable is also one of my favorites. Yeah, absolutely.
I heard like lots of negatives about that movie.
Really?
Yeah, like that.
People didn't like that?
I didn't understand that because I thought it was really good.
Yeah, totally.
Creepiest dude ever, Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah,
in that movie.
So good.
The Goonies.
The Goonies. Solid movie.
Never say die.
Up next, we have a short question just for Scott. At West Side FP, Scott, are you still wearing those pretentious yellow glasses?
Ah, no, I'm not wearing them at the moment. I only wear them when I feel like my eyes need a boost. And I will like to say I'm not sponsored by Gunner, but I appreciate everything they do for the esports community and general eye health. And I can say that it has
I might changed, be getting Gunners.
It has changed my life. Right. And, you know, people say that, oh, can a product change your life? Fuck yes, it can change your life. And I'm someone that stands in the main change.
I agree.
When I go to work out and I wear those glasses, I feel like I could fuck anyone. And sometimes I do. So let me tell you,
they don't even know what's coming. It just happens.
No, I'll like black out. And next thing I know, I'm fucking the hottest chick in the gym or the hottest dude. Either way, the Gunners helped me do all this, and I can't say enough about it.
The product that changed my life was the Magic Bullet. So,
oh well, that's a pretty good one too.
I might be next eye appointment. I might be getting some sort of eye strain.
Bob says they really help if you look at a monitor all day.
That's what I'm hearing. I'm at a computer at work all day. At home, it's not necessarily Gunners you have to get. It's whichever's like, it's the what they use. Like they use an anti glare thing, and then they use something that softens the light. But it's like, yeah, it's not just Gunners that do that. But but yeah.
Just to be clear, yeah, I would expect Bob to say that they're really awesome when he has to wear them.
He does look.
I may be sentenced to that as
He's
well.
He's trying to convince himself that they work.
My favorite thing about Bob wearing Gunners.
About God?
Did you just call Bob God? Because I'm leaving the podcast.
No, that was a total misspeak there.
Good, thank God.
My favorite part about Bob wearing the Gunners is there's a guy that we work with on our floor that every time he sees Bob in them, he goes, John, look, it's Bono. Bono's right there. And he goes up and asks him for his autograph.
Sing Elevation. This next question, I actually thought long and hard about this because I was the one who wrote these down. At Blaster with three S's, sir, you've spelled your name incorrectly. Just thought I would let you know. Would you rather be a target for a poop catapult for 24 hours or have an unshowered Gaben sit on your face at work for a day?
That's the second one.
Yeah.
No, it's the first one.
Really?
Do I get breathing breaks when I'm under Gaben?
Yeah, am I gonna?
That's what I'm saying. Gaben could kill you.
Do I get a snorkel or something?
Like, dude, a poop catapult. If people are not having soft stool,
you could get diseases from
how
that.
How far are these being catapulted? People have rock hard shit, dude. If you get,
but I feel like I could hide from the catapult.
No, but it sounds like you have to be hit by it.
Yeah,
you're the target of it.
I'm still going poop catapult.
No, I'm going Gaben. I'm going Gaben.
I think I have less chance of contracting a disease from Gaben sitting on my face than I do from a poop catapult.
That's a good argument. That's a solid argument.
I don't know, man.
Plus, I mean, you have the chance to interview him, kind of.
Yeah, underneath him.
When is Half-Life 3? When is Half-Life 3?
Are you really developing?
Actually, that's how you get out of it, is you ask him about Half-Life 3.
What is, where
just
is Star Sentinel 2?
Oh, that mental image is not pleasant.
Chat is pretty pro-Gaben.
Yeah.
I like that there's a question in the chat that says, how old is the poop? Like, that's a factor.
That's your decision.
Old poop, man, gets really hard, too. You know.
Old poop gets really hard too.
Okay, dude. Life lessons learned on the Game Mod podcast for everyone. I'm a doctor. All right.
Wait. Could we get both? Both the poop cannon?
Why would you want both? This is picking two not good things.
Could Gaben be my poop cannon while he's sitting on me?
Okay. No.
All right, I think we're done here.
We're done. Next.
This next question was actually a question that came up in last night's stream because I was just baffled by the concept of bleaching your asshole.
And then it became a point of conversation for the entire stream.
Yeah, at Based NHLS, are you going to bleach your assholes after the podcast? I'm going with no, because I don't care if my asshole is a different color from the rest of my skin.
Well, like we said last night, you don't ever let someone bleach their own asshole. Like, unless Dan comes over and bleaches mine, I'm not doing it either.
We did have, a whole circle of asshole bleaching.
Why would I bleach it again?
Oh, God. Jesus Christ.
I still think the circle is essential, because if you do it in a straight line, that guy at the end ends up with a shitty butthole.
That's true. His butthole isn't as pretty as the rest of the buttholes.
And we want equally pretty buttholes.
That's true.
Yeah. I want my butthole to be something you could photograph and put in a music.
God.
Is bleaching a thing?
Yes.
Nick, do you see that? Do you think that butthole we saw with the foot in it at the at the art exhibit was bleached?
Did we go over this? Did we talk about this?
I don't know. I think
no.
Okay, me and Scott. Do tell. Me and Scott on
you should have prepped me for this.
When I was there, we go and see this Robert Mapplethorpe, and if you know Robert Mapplethorpe, he's a photographer and he does a lot of nude photography. Mostly of males. But it's this gallery at the LACMA called XYZ.
Ugh.
And it shows homoerotic masochistic photography.
Yeah.
And there were a couple photos of just like, you know, that's a dick. That's a dick. It's not a big deal. There's a guy holding a dick. There's a guy holding someone else's dick.
It was fine.
And then boom! That's a foot in a butt.
Foot in a dude's ass, like a foot. Like his ankle, up to ankle length in an ass. And I was like, you know, I can appreciate art, but I just don't get this piece. I don't get what they're going for here. I don't know.
Do you remember what the name of the photo was?
What are we doing here? What are we really doing?
And then afterwards, we walked out, and I put my arm around Scott, and I said, we just bonded over a guy's foot in another guy's ass, so...
Stop touching me.
We bonded over it, so... Except
there was no bonding. There was just pure horror and...
There was bondage. There was a lot of bondage.
Anyway... But, like, children could have walked right into that exhibit and gotten...
The photo is just guy with foot up ass. That is the name of the photo.
At least he's not fucking around, like...
Yeah, he isn't fucking
around. The thing is,
the
gallery was next to, like, a bunch of, like, normal art. Like, people were walking past it with their kids, and, like, there was nothing stopping, like, kids from just walking in.
Nick, you can't put art, normal art? What are you talking about, dude? Art is an expression.
I'm putting normal art under the non-foot-in-ass category.
Wow. That piece would be way worse if it was, like, Man's Struggle Against Humanity was the title.
Yeah, no, yeah, something pretentious. Way worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
All right.
I don't want to get deep question. In this piece. Blade.
That really speaks to me. It's a deep piece.
at the Dialect asks, and this is a question that I've always wanted to know the answer to, if you could bottle the flatulence of any 18th century ruler or royal, who would you choose?
Madam Sophie.
Wow, that was a quick answer. Quick.
I have been looking at a list. I've been looking at a list for the last 5 minutes.
I can look at 18th century figures. I haven't...
18th century royalty. I love how we're all Googling this.
Here, no, I'll just give you a link. There's a whole Pinterest about it.
It's literally
a Pinterest.
Oh, yeah, I'm always on Pinterest, man. I'm a woman.
That's the first Google
you
result.
Did.
I love Pinterest.
This is quite the selection.
That's like George Washington's face on a female body. I'm very concerned.
Are you looking at Louis Antoine de Bourbon?
No, Princess Anna Amalia of Prussia.
Dude, man, every time I look at photographs, I'm like, damn, women were super ugly back then. What, like, is it just that these renderings are poor, or what? What?
I already have my answer. It's Joseph Ducru.
Oh, that's
the
that's
guy
not
who's
there.
Oh, that's an easy answer. Yeah.
Yeah. That guy had the farts of a god. I bet. Look at that meme, dude.
I think just based on this Pinterest page, I like Gustav III of Sweden. I like the cut of his jib.
Solid choice.
I like the cut of his jib and the smell of his farts.
I feel like Louis XV is also a solid answer. Look at all those medals. That guy is just gonna fart pure war awesome. That's
oh my god.
I'll go with King George III. The picture, he's just chilling. He's like, yeah, whatever. Looks like whatever, he's... I'm ruling a country, just relaxing.
Sell them.
If I have to pick from this page, particularly
Frederick Prince of Wales, just looks like he has the rape eyes. Like he literally looks like he's looking at the photographer, and he's like, "I'm going to fuck you, and whether or not if you like it, that's fine. But I'm royalty, so you're gonna have to take it." So that looks like it's going on.
I'm gonna go with Archduchess Maria Amelia of Austria.
Wow,
I'm liking her hat.
I don't know
where
any of these are, so.
Yeah,
I'm just... she's about halfway down.
Oh yeah,
well.
No, I see. That's
she's got a solid hat.
That's where she keeps the fart jars. She just lifts it up, grabs the fart jar, fills it up, puts it back. Right into the hat.
I like a good hat on a woman, and I feel like
hat.
I feel like she could really